Let us begin our session by looking to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gathering of Thy people. We thank Thee for the Philemon Fellowship, that week after week we may be able to meditate upon Thy Word and to think upon topics that would help us to grow spiritually. And we thank Thee also for this fellowship that Thou hast raised, for it has been 4 years. Thou hast kept us and sustained us. Despite the challenges that we have, Thou hast drawn Thy people together every time that we gather, for they have grown to know and to love Thy Word, and to love to see to their spiritual growth and maturity. We thank Thee for the work of Thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of Thy people. And as we look into this topic of quiet time and personal devotion, we pray, Lord, that Thou will lead and guide us and teach us out of Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me put up the opening slide, which all of you can see. Right? Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear the voice of God? Now, the topic of personal devotion or quiet time. I asked our brother Jerome, what is quiet time in Chinese, for those who are Chinese speaking? Jingxiu, is it? Jingxiu, right? Is that right, Deacon Wong? Chun Wei? Correct, right? Okay, he's nodding his head. So those of you who understand this, right, they often say quiet time, right, or personal devotion, or in Mandarin we say 静修. In other words, a time of quietness where we communicate with God. And this question is raised, do you hear the voice of God? Actually, we get very worried in BP churches, you know, when somebody tells you, I heard God speaking to me, right? Isn't it? Because we know and understand from the scripture that the apostolic signs and miracles, right, such as visions, dreams, and so on, those have ceased, right? That's why we're referred to as, theologically, we are referred to as cessationists, right? No more of that. But we know and understand that when we spend time in quiet, in devotion, God speaks to us. God speaks to us. So let's move on in this question. So can a believer enjoy close communion with God? This is the question we hope to answer today. Right? And remember this, communion with God is a spiritual activity, right? And being a spiritual activity, right, let us not look for techniques or methods or just look for worldly devices, right, to enhance. You can do that if you are learning a skill. I know we all do that, isn't it? Right, when you're younger, you want to learn how to do a cartwheel. Well, there's a certain method, right? And then maybe a gymnastic teacher can teach you how to do that. Or if you're trying to learn a different skill set, you may be playing a certain ball game or a certain water sports, right? Windsurfing or what. Somebody can teach you the technique. And over time, as you practice, you get better. Now, remember this, quiet time, personal devotion. We can talk about the principles and the methods to employ, but eventually it is a spiritual exercise. So your spiritual life, your spiritual maturity, very important, right? Can a believer enjoy close communion with God? So that's a question we will answer today. And in answering that question, we want to know, right, first of all, right, is it possible? And what are the things that we ought to do? And what have Christians done in the past? And we also draw examples from the Bible. So let's look at history. I want to draw three examples, right, where God spoke to His servants directly. Directly speaking to the servants. So I'll give you an example, right? Exodus 33:10, I request, David, can you read for the class? Right. Right. So the Lord speaking to Moses directly. Right. So this is in history. Right. We know that in the history of the Old Testament that has happened. And then to Abraham. How does James describe Abraham's relationship with God? Right. It says that, and the scripture was fulfilled, right, in that it says, Abraham believeth God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. For he was called a friend of God. Someone who has very close communion with God. And then, of course, the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Right. Jerome, can you read for the class John 15:15, please?
John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for servant knows not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. All things that I have heard of my Father, I make known unto you.
Amen. Thank God for the reading of His Word. So you see in history, in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament, God did communicate directly with the servant, with His servant, right? And even the Lord Jesus, when He spoke to His disciples, what did He say? I call you friends. Close relationship. And you must bear in mind this. Christianity is the only religion where it is taught as a doctrine that a man or a woman have a close relationship with God. No other religion does that, right? We know that the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. We know that Jesus, right, is our Lord and our Savior. Personal. Very often you hear this phrase, personal Lord and Savior. And God, the Heavenly Father, is our Heavenly Father. Very personal and close relationship with God. So the understanding must be this, that God and men and women, believers, of course, have a close relationship, a close communication, right? So today, let's look at what we want to learn, right? So we want to learn what is personal devotion, or some people call it quiet time, right? Secondly, we want to draw some principles from biblical examples. So this is not something that is invented, right, by the Presbyterian Church or invented by the Methodist Church, no, right, or invented by the Navigators, no, right? This idea of doing personal devotion is a biblical principle. And then thirdly, we want to look at the benefits. What does it do for you spiritually, right? And then fourthly, we also want to talk very briefly, right, because I know some of you are parents, also grandparents, right? Or some of you may be parents-to-be. You may say, I'm single, I have no children. Yes, in time to come, God may bless you with a life partner and bless you with children. You want to be able to teach quiet time to young children also, right? And then talk about some of the hindrances and how to overcome them. Now, as you look through all these, you know, lessons and what we are learning today, yes, they seem like, you know, someone is just talking to you about what, tools and techniques, right? No, it is more than that. The very prime important, and I say preparation, is this, your spiritual condition. And as I look across the room, I hope and I understand all of you are believers in Christ. Am I right? You're all believers, having confessed your sins before the Lord Jesus, and you know that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior. Right? Because if you are not, then this topic may not have direct relevance to you. Because this topic is about a spiritual exercise for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may want to find out after the meeting. Right? Especially those of you who are listening in from home, right, and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's your opportunity to ask your Christian relative or friends, how can I know the Lord? Right? So it's a very important point to make. Right? Personal devotion is a spiritual exercise. It's for Christian. Now, before I move on to the next slide, all these things that we learn, how important it is. You know Spurgeon, right, a very well-known preacher. What did he say? The prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church, right? Now, what about quiet time and personal devotion for the individual within the church? The quiet time and personal devotion is, right, that power generator for the individual Christians. For each individual Christian, before you start your day, before you rush into the busyness of your day, know and understand spending time with God, right? It gives you that essential spiritual nourishment before you start your day. All of you know how to start a day with a nutritious breakfast, don't you? I'm sure you all read about nutrition and you all watch, you know, YouTube clips about what's good for breakfast, and you want to put in your proteins and your eggs and your shakes and your fruits and your all of that good thing, everything that's good for you, right? Spiritually, know that you must have a good breakfast, right? A good breakfast. So let me begin with this, right? What is personal daily devotion or quiet time? Or as our Mandarin-speaking brethren would say, right? 静修, what is it about? Well, to put it in very simple terms, right? It's the time that is set aside by Christian to do two important things, right? Number one, to talk to God in prayer. To talk to God in prayer. And then, secondly, to hear from God by reading His Word. To hear from God by reading His Word. Now, remember what I said early on? Christianity is a religion where man and woman have a personal relationship with God. And you know, to maintain a personal relationship, what do you need? Communication, isn't it? If you are a married man or you're married for many, many years, and you tell me, Pastor, I haven't spoken to my wife for a few months, immediately I know there's something wrong in your relationship. True? Or if you may be in a family, you may be parents, right? Father, mother. And then, you know, my child, your children come and tell me, you know, Pastor, we have a problem in the house. My parents don't talk to each other, and my parents never ever talk to me. For a few months, or a few years, even sometimes, I know something is wrong. There's a broken relationship. And if we can understand that in our human realm, imagine you go to work, you know, you see your boss every morning, never say good morning to him, never say hello to him, for several weeks, what will happen? I'm pretty sure HR probably has you on the list to be retrenched or taken off the payroll, right? You're about to lose your job. That's what's happening because your relationship is going down the tube, down the drain. So if we understand that in the human realm, why is it we don't understand that in the spiritual realm? If you're not talking to God in prayer and you're not listening to God, the voice of God from His Word, then you must ask yourself, do I have an issue? Do I have a problem in my spiritual life? Right? So this is what it is, right? When we say daily devotion or quiet time, right? Or maybe a quiet moment, whatever you choose to call it, is talking to God and then listening to God, hearing from His Word, right? And it's a two-way communication, right? It is never, a time where you say, oh, you know, I just talk to God. I just pray to God. Yes, that's prayer. But at the same time, you want to be able to feed on God's Word. You know, an old pastor told me this, and he's passed away, right, several years. In fact, he's the pastor who set up, you know, the missions in Malaysia, including this one. And he used to share with us, he says, what a lovely thing to wake up in the morning. It's like someone you are in love with. And the first thing you want to do is to, of course, in those days, they don't have a handphone, right? But I will paraphrase it. As if you want to pick up the handphone and call this person. Why? Because you're so in love with this person. Young man, young lady, have you had that feeling before? You're so in love with this, right? You're a young lady and you're so in love with this young man. Or this young man who's so in love with this young lady. And, of course, you're both in the faith and loving the Lord. And your love shows itself because the minute you have a spare moment, you want to talk to him or her, right? And this old pastor shared that with us. I was a young man at that time and I was listening to it. And I think how true it is. If God is indeed our Heavenly Father, don't we want to spend a moment with Him? To hear from Him, hear from His Word, and to speak to Him. To tell Him of the heartaches, to tell Him of the challenges that you have to meet today. You have a tough customer that you've got to talk to this morning. Well, talk to God about it. You have a family problem you cannot solve. You know, someone's creating trouble in your family that you think perhaps you need to spend some time and show some wisdom in talking to this person. Where do you find that counsel? Talk to God. So, important two-way communication. And this two-way communication helps you to grow spiritually. Grow spiritually. Right? So you understand this. Actually, most of you, if you have been in church for some years, you would know all of that. And you would have even read books or tracts about quiet time. And you agree, right? Many of you are nodding your head. Yes, yes, I agree. What hinders many Christians from not having a consistent quiet time? And I want to come with a warning, right? Because this is what it says. The warning is, do not trust your feelings. Do not trust your feelings. Now, why? Remember, I started this exhortation by saying the title of today's exhortation is, do you hear the voice of God? Right? Do you hear the voice of God? And some people, especially as I remember, as I look back in the early years, in the 70s, you know, even in the late 60s or 70s or 80s, because Christianity was growing very quickly, right, in Southeast Asia, in Malaysia, in Singapore, in many parts, where there were parachurch groups that were teaching people how to do quiet time, Bible reading, prayer, all these, you know, means of spiritual exercise. Many young believers become disappointed because they find that they are waking up early, which takes special effort, Right? They are spending aside time for that day, which means that they have to forego whatever activity for that morning. Maybe another 10 or 20 minutes of sleep, but they are foregoing that. Or another 10 or 20 minutes of, you know, getting a breakfast prepared or going to whatever. They got to put aside that time. And they find that when they read the Bible and they pray, they still come out dry. Right? No effect at all. It's as if I've wasted my whatever time I spent for quiet time, 15 minutes or 20 minutes spent in personal, wasted. No feeling, right? No feeling. So I want to just mention this, right? So why do some Christians, right, they stop doing quiet time at all? Well, some of the answers, I don't feel any spiritual uplift, right? I don't feel it. Quiet time is not something mystical or magical. However, I did say it is spiritual, right? You cannot see it, but it is something that affects your spiritual growth. And it takes time. And it takes faith also. The continuous practice of personal devotion will help you over time to understand, yes, this is how God speaks to His servant. God speaks to me through His Word. Sometimes it's not immediately apparent to me. It may come to me 2 days from now, or maybe even a week from now, or several weeks from now. But that's how God shows me the wisdom and the way to do, right? So don't trust your feeling, oh, you know, I did my quiet time today, but I learned nothing. Don't ever say that. Right? For the last couple of days this week, I've been reading from the book of Isaiah. And every time I try to draw a certain portion of it, it may not have immediate application that day. But sometime down the road, it will have. And you must have that faith and that trust, right? So, don't say, oh, I don't have any spiritual uplift. It's not meant to be a mystical. Mystical means something like magical, no. But it is spiritual, right? It is spiritual. Or some people may say, oh, I forget because I was too busy. The minute I get out, I was so busy trying to prepare to go to work, or, you know, I have an important meeting this month, I forgot. Or some people say, I can't spare the time. Right, later Q&A, we'll go into some of these, you know, that people... excuses that you hear from Christians, right? So remember this, if we think about it, number one, do not rely on feelings. Quiet time is not about going away with that warm, fuzzy feeling inside, oh, you know, I had such a beautiful time of communion with God. It is meant to be a beautiful time of communion with God. But don't go away saying, oh, I don't have that feeling. Because if your faith is based on feeling, it's not faith. Right? And don't have that feeling, oh, I must be lifted up. Yes, you may be burdened. True. And the reading of God's Word gives you some insight. And it, still that burden is with you, because maybe later this morning you've got to meet that nasty client. Right? Or maybe later this morning you've got to meet your boss, right, who is going to load upon you a whole bunch of tasks that you've got to complete before the end of the month, and you know you don't like it. That's not going to change. But the wisdom of God, right, and your faith in God should sustain you, not the feeling, right? Faith, not feeling. And then the second thing is this, is it people who forget or, you know, miss one or two. Number two, never give up. Never give. You miss a day, maybe you miss 2 days. And some people have this feeling, and I know, you know, talking to Christians sometimes, especially those who are very serious about their faith, and I must credit them for the zeal in their heart. They want to be very zealous for the Lord. I want to do quiet time every morning. But if they miss one, they feel like, oh, I've committed a great sin. I'm so disappointing, you know. I'm such a horrible Christian. Oh, maybe the whole week I'm busy. I miss 3 mornings in a row. Don't give up. Don't give up, right? If you miss Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, yes, just look to the Lord, forgive me. On Thursday morning, start again, right? Don't give up, right? Wherever you left off, just carry on. And this is the same also for through the Bible reading. You all know what's through the Bible reading, right? There are many tracts out there about through the Bible reading to encourage you all to read through the Bible. You're supposed to read what? 3 chapters every day, if possible, right? 5 on a Sunday. And then if you do that, you can complete the whole Bible in a period of time, right? I can't remember what it was, maybe a year or 2 years, complete the whole Bible. What's the biggest discouragement? You miss 1 or 2 days, you become disappointed, and then you give up, right? And then for the next few weeks, you stop reading. Don't give up. Pick up wherever you have left off, right? Pick up. So this is called what? Consistency. right? Consistency. Actually, it is the same quality of discipline that helps you succeed in life. You know that or not? You want to succeed spiritually, you want to succeed in life, be consistent. Why do employees get awards by their company? Because they are consistent, right? They may have one or two failures, yes, but they pick themselves up and they carry on. They may have one or two hiccups in life. Maybe, you know, one customer don't like him, but or maybe a particular contract didn't work out well. Yes, but what do? They dust off themselves, carry on. Same for quiet time. You miss one or two, don't give up, right? Plod on, plod on. So these are some very important. So I want to go into some examples from the Bible, right? Because the examples from the Bible will give us a platform. Now, we want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our, first of all, most important example. Now, he spent time in quiet prayer and devotion. At least two instances. One of them we have read from the Gospel of Mark, right? So we will go through very quickly these instances and draw some principles. Right, so this is the part where I say quiet time was not invented by the church. Right, least of all it's invented by me. It's not by me. Right, not invented by a parachurch group or some, you know, Christian author who taught quiet time. No, it's a principle drawn from the Bible. Right, so as Bible believing Christians, we should learn to do it. And then the prophet Daniel, another example, someone who prayed in quiet devotion. And then there are some examples from Paul's teachings. And also the gospel, right? So I will be try to be very selective so that we can just hit on the key and important principles. So we learn from Matthew 14, which is a very similar example to Mark, right? We'll come to Mark in a while, but I want to take this one and I request Brother Luis, can you read out loud for the class? Read out loud for the class.
Matthew 14:22. While he sent multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
Amen. Thank God for the reading of his word. Just in case any of you are wondering, right, most of the exhortation, I usually ask a brother to read, right? It's not that I'm biased against the sisters. Because I know the brothers have a voice to throw, right? So if any of you sisters, right, if you wish to read also, right, let me know. I will might give you an opportunity to read the scripture, right? All right, let's come back to this. Now, this example, Jesus was constrained, right? He, in other words, he told his disciples, let's get into the ship. And then he, verse 22, I underlined it up there. Can you see? He sent the multitudes away, right? What did he do? The multitudes were coming to him. They wanted to hear his preaching. They wanted him to do the healing. First thing the Lord Jesus did was to move away from all these distractions. Right? There were many of them who came to him. Some of them just wanted to see him to look at his miracles. And then he went to, verse 23, he sent the multitudes away and went up to a mountain to pray. So the principle is very simple. Right? Number two. Find a place of solitude, quietness, quietness. And there, underlined in verse 23, he spent time to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So four very important principles we learn from the Lord's devotional time, the time that he spent in quiet. Number one, he separated himself from the bustle and hustle of whatever he was doing or whatever the multitudes was bearing upon him. The multitudes wanted him to heal the sick, wanted to hear him preaching, wanted to see the miracles that he was doing. Well, he removed himself from it. So, important aspect is, right, for our quiet time, remove ourselves from distraction and find a place of solitude. You may not have to be alone, but you have to be in a quiet place where you are not distracted. I know some people, right, especially in cities where they have to ride public transport. What do? They do quiet time while they're on a train or on a bus by themselves. Right? Because it's relatively quiet. You're surrounded by people, yes, but you can find a seat and you can do a bit of quiet reading and prayer to yourself. Well, that's another place you can do it. Right? Some people, some students I know, right, do quiet time while they're on a school bus on the way to school, yes. But a good place, if you have a quiet place, a regular place, like a study, right? I like to do it in a study. Sometimes in the morning, you can do it in your own bedroom, right? And then spend time to pray and to have time alone with the Lord. And then in another example where we just read, right, this afternoon, our brother David led us in this reading, Mark chapter 1, verse 34. He healed many that were sick of diverse disease and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So the Lord Jesus was very busily engaged with the multitudes, the group of people. They all wanted something from him. Healing, miracles, his teaching, just right to be with him. But he spent time away. So in verse 35, he says, in the morning, right, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed unto a solitary place, and there he prayed. So we see a kind of a pattern, right, that the Lord Jesus adopted. First of all, it's early in the day. It's early in the day. Now, is the morning the best time to do quiet time? For some, yes. For most people, yes. Right? And I do agree, this is the best time to do it. Before you launch yourself into the busyness of your day. I know some people do their quiet time right in the middle of the day when they have half an hour or 20 minutes at lunchtime, they spend time to do it. Well, if you're constrained and that's the only time you have, make it work for you. But the Lord Jesus did it early in the morning. Right? And sometimes I remember right, when in people who are in military service, right, from the get-go, the minute you're out of bed, you're running left and right, up and down until right, maybe 11 o'clock at night when you're in your bed, you have a few quiet moments. So that's the only time they have. Right? But still, the best time is early in the morning, in the quiet of the morning. Right? In the quiet of the morning, that's the best. And then the Lord Jesus, what? He departed to a solitary place. He departed from that daily activity. He went to a place of solitude again. Right, a quiet bit, and then he communed with God, and there he prayed, and there he prayed. And I leave you with this question, right? Is early morning the best time for quiet time? And I would say, by and large, for most people, it should be, unless you absolutely right, have no other way, right, to put that into your morning. You should be able to. Just wake up a little bit earlier. In fact, that's one of the Q&A questions that we will come to in a little while, right? Come to in a little while. So these are two examples by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at another example, right, of another person. Now who is this person we're talking about? Well, let's look about the prophet. Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. I ask Brother Brian, can you read out loud for the class, please? Yes. Amen. Thank God for the reading of His Word. So Daniel, now you notice that the verse ends with, as he did aforetime. That means this is something that he has been doing regularly, as he has done before. And Daniel was a man who practiced prayer before God, quiet time, three times a day. Now, you all know what's the backdrop in verse 10, right? There was a decree given out, anyone who prayed to anyone, any god, any idol, apart from the idol of the king will be subject to death. So Daniel says, well, I pray to God. And so he spent that time in quietness with God, right? So verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What did they see Daniel doing? Spending time alone with God. Alone with God, right? So number one, again, privacy, right? Looking to God. Solitude, quiet time with God. And then it's a regular time. It's not a one-off. In fact, he does it three times a day. Now, some people, if you have the time to do it three times a day, that would be wonderful. Right? But if you can do it once a day, that would be a great, great benefit to your spiritual life already. But Daniel was a true and fervent servant of God three times a day. And the regular time, you see, he says often, right? Something that he spent time often. He has done it before time and regular. And then verse 11, he was found praying and making supplication before God. He was speaking to God. He was spending time in private talking to God. Now, these are just some examples, right, of men and the Lord Jesus Christ spending time before God. And then we also find that the idea of quiet time is taught in the Bible, right? Now, Paul to Timothy, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Right, talking to Timothy, telling him to meditate upon God's word, spending time to meditate. Now, later on, when I come to the different steps in doing quiet time, meditation is one of them, right? To meditate, to spend time to think about one particular verse or an instruction from the Bible. That's what it means, to mull it over. Sometimes we mull over a lot of things that are not profitable. For instance, someone offended you. The whole day you're thinking about it, you're getting angry, right? The more you think, the angrier you get. And then at some point in time, you think of, I'm going to get even. That is a sin. Right? Remember, that's a sin. Right? What did the Lord Jesus say? If you hate your brother without cause, you are in danger of judgment. If you tell your brother, Raka, you fool. In other words, you're ready to speak harsh words against your brother. You have sinned. So, don't mull upon things that are not profitable. Mull upon things that are profitable, the word of God. And then prayer in solitude, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now, it doesn't mean you can't pray in the open. But what the Lord Jesus is saying is that what? When you are in quiet, in solitude, you can pray and communicate with your Father in heaven. Now, when the Lord Jesus brought this up, Matthew 6, 6, he was trying to rebuke the Pharisees because they like to pray out in the open for show, right? To show everybody how holy they are. They pray so many times in a day, right? But prayer can be in quiet, in solitude. And he refers to this. There are many believers, such as Daniel, who pray in solitude, in the quiet of their own room, right? And Christians today do that also. And then the idea of meditating upon God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, to think about God's word. So you see a very comprehensive picture, how the Bible teach and come across to the Christian that quiet time, right? First of all, is shown to us in the example of the Lord Jesus' life. It's shown to us an example of the holy men of old, such as Daniel. And then the teaching in the writings of the Apostle Paul also show us that we must spend time meditating on God's word. We must spend time in quiet praying with God, praying to God, talking to God, and then spending time to think about his word that he has given us. Right? So now that you know all these are principles, right? These are principles. So how can we put that all together? How do we put that all together, right? Or I use a phrase which some of you may be familiar with, right? This is where the rubber meets the road, right? This is where it gets to the action that needs to be carried out. So the effective ways to do quiet time. Initially, this was the topic. Initially, the topic for this evening is effective quiet time, right? Effective ways to do quiet time. Now, number one, set a time. Remember how the Lord Jesus, right, rose up early in the morning. Morning is best. That's the best. If you can set aside time to do it, make that your discipline. By the way, if you discipline yourself to do it in the morning, you will immediately and instantly set for yourself another discipline. You know what that is? You will go to bed early. Otherwise, you'll lay in bed, scrolling on your phone, doing all kinds of other things to the wee hours of the night, wasting your time. So it's a discipline that helps you both ways. Right? Getting up early to do quiet time. Secondly, going to bed early. Mind you, if you're up till 1 a.m. scrolling, you're not going to be up at 6:30 to do quiet time. You will be, but your eyes will be like, you know, bloodshot and you'll be all tired. So remember that, right? Morning is best. Right? Morning is best, but for some, it may be evening or mid. If you're, you know, in a position that you cannot find that time, truly, but most of the time, if you can, morning is always the best. Right? Set your time, set your clock, go to bed early, do it. And I can tell you this, you'll be good for your health as well. Not just physical health, mental health also. And also your performance at work. You won't have that blurry-eyed mid-morning, you know, sitting in a meeting room and want to fall asleep. None of that. Right? Go to bed early, wake up early, do your quiet time. Secondly, you've got to find a place that are free from distractions and interruptions. And then prepare your heart. Now, I want to come to this, finding a place. If you have time at home or you have the luxury of having a little study, that's good. That's the best. Right? Do it in your bedroom. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, you know, like speaking with myself together. We just do a devotion together. If you can find that place. But I've also mentioned, sometimes people do it while they are in transit. Right? You're being driven in a bus, school bus on your way to college or on the way to work. And then you have that quiet time. Yes, as long as you are free from interruptions. No distractions, no interruptions. And I end it with a very important point. Prepare your heart. Right? Prepare your heart. Before you open the Bible, before you start your word of prayer, pray to God. God, help me. Help me in these few minutes that I spend reading your word and praying to you. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is a spiritual exercise. Right, you can do step 1, 2, 3, 4 and do it very religiously. But if you do not put your faith and your heart into it and your prayer of faith to God, prepare your heart. Right, it will be just another process. Right, so set a time, find a place. So you begin by reading a passage from the Bible. Right, using a passage from the Bible. Now, as you come in, you will see many of these, right? RPG, read, pray, grow. RPG stands for read, pray, grow. The acronym happens to be the same as a weapon, an anti-tank weapon. So sometimes if you do a search, right, it leads you somewhere else. Now, if you look at our website, there's actually a link that will get to this. Read a passage of the Bible. Use available daily devotional material. Now, if you're doing a short, quiet time, just to start your day, right? The RPG reading, which is also, by the way, available on your phone. You can just click on the link and it will lead you to the passage to read. You read the passage of the Bible and then you read the commentary. Right? That is the most convenient. And that's the best. Right? This is a very important aspect of the reading. If you use this, you can do your devotion very easily, very quickly, within 10 to 15 minutes. That's all it takes of your time. But provided you're not rushing your way through it, you're spending time to read, you're spending time in prayer. And by the way, in Bible college, the students all use this. Right? We have a morning devotion together. And then we'll sit together, we'll read the Bible passage, open the Bible, all of us will read. Right? And then we'll open this one, and then somebody will read, right, one paragraph. Sometimes, with Shrikim and myself, let's say they have three paragraphs, right? I will read paragraph one and then she'll read paragraph two and then we just read through. It takes a little bit of time. You must be disciplined and do not rush through it. And then when you have done that, spend some time in prayer. Pray for your spiritual growth and supplicate and for others. Now, whenever you do RPG, you come to the bottom line, right? There's always a thought, right? And a prayer. Now the thought, so for instance, right? This is May the 20th. Right, and the title is, You Only Live Once. Right? You only live once. Yes, you only have this life to serve God and to work out your spiritual life. And then the thought here is this, contentment is found in a godly life that is blessed with peace, hope, and joy, not in fame or fortune. This is the thought. So the writer of these RPG notes have taken special pains by prayer, by, of course, you know, by help from God and from God's Holy Spirit, to write these words that will help us. So you can spend a few minutes thinking to yourself, what can I do that will help me live a godly life? Maybe one thing you want to tell, from now on, I want to use less and less words that will hurt others. I don't want to use words that are harsh, right? Or maybe some of you, maybe in a worldly environment, you use words that are, right? Not very savory. People of the world use those words. You say, from now on, I don't want to use those words. I want to live a godly life. Think about it. Right? Think about your life. How can I make my life more godly, more pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? And then pray. Pray for your spiritual growth. Supplicate for others. Usually, and you will know it, and this is why as a pastor, I often notify the groups when somebody is sick or somebody has an issue that needs to be dealt with. Right? You notice I will send to Philemon group or Agape group. What is that for? For you all to pray about it. Right? It's not for you all to just look and then give it a thumbs up, right? Or give it an okay. Yes, and I love it when you all give a response. That's good. I know that people are reading it. But that item is for you to pray. Right? Pray for this sister who's sick. Maybe she's feeling pain. She's struggling with pain. By the way, our sister Choi Ling has just been discharged. Not just been, but she's been out of hospital for a while. She's taking care of her sick mother as well. So pray for her. And in the morning, you pray for yourself. You pray for others also. So you see, four very simple things to do, but you will realize this. It is not about technique or method, right? It's about your heart, right? Are you spiritually attuned to do it? And if you do it, it's very beneficial, it's very helpful, and it will be a good thing for you, right? Now, I want to move on to something like Christian meaning of quiet time. Now, why do I say that? I want to tell you this. Quiet time is an important part of Christian everyday life. And then when he goes or she goes to a comfortable and secluded place, usually in his own home, right? Like I say, sometimes it's in transit, where he can draw close to God with no distraction. There should be no interruptions from TV, telephone, family members, or traffic noises, or, you know, silence. So if you are one of those who cannot, right, block out the noise that's around you, do your quiet time at home. Right? Don't try to do it in transit. Then all the time you'll be distracted. People looking at you. Right? Quiet time is set aside for each part of the day, a meeting between the believer and God. It consists of confession of sins, that's in your prayer. Sometimes I tell you, you wake up in the morning and you know you have a bad day ahead. You know why? Maybe the day before you had a big fight with your wife. Or in the case of a lady, a big fight with her husband. Or a big fight with your colleague. And your heart is troubled, right? Very burdened, right? And maybe you said certain things that you shouldn't say. Right? Maybe certain words that are bad. You shouldn't have said those words as a Christian. What's the first thing you do? Tell God. God, forgive me. That's how you start your day. You should have said, God, forgive me last night, but you didn't because you're still so angry, right? But in the morning, do your quiet time. Look to God for confession. Now, I want to put up this one so that we all have an orientation of what quiet time is. It's a spiritual exercise. By the way, I found out the world also have quiet time, you know. Really. Right? One day I was in Singapore walking around the childcare organizations. And then we were looking at, and then one of the teachers said, oh, the children are having quiet time. I was thinking, wow, so nice, a Christian kindergarten or Christian? No. I look at them. All the children have their individual mattresses. They're all lying down, you know, with their favorite toy or blanket. Like, that's their quiet time. They have quiet time also. The world also have quiet time. Even some workplaces, they implement quiet time, you know, for their employees. You know that or not? For mental health as well as for, you know, proper, you know, better working condition. So they have dark rooms. Right, they have room in the dark, and then you have a nice little cushy little easy chair. You can sit down and spend 50. Of course, they will have a sign there, you know, employees are not to spend more than, you know, 20 minutes in this room. So you can have a little bit of quiet time. That's the world, right? Quiet time, personal devotion for a Christian is what? Spiritual exercise. Now, devotional material, I will not go into it. I know in BP churches we have, you know, Read, Pray, Grow, which I have mentioned to you. There are also some other daily devotions that are available in the book room. Right? And I, by far, would recommend Read, Pray, Grow. It's most easily available, and you know that we can have access to it, right? Now, I want to just quickly touch on this because I mentioned some of you are grandparents, some of you are parents, some of you may be parents-to-be. Is it possible to teach children to do quiet time? And the answer is yes. Right, it's taught in the Bible, right? Mark chapter 10, verse 14. When Jesus saw it, that means the disciples were telling the children to go away, right? But Jesus saw it, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You see, suffer the little children to come unto me. That little child, or the one in the cry room, it doesn't mean that that child do not have the ability to understand his or her relationship with God. You know that or not? It doesn't mean they are too young. No? I've seen 2-year-old praying and praying with understanding. God, thank you for this food. And they know it. Even though their words are not clear or complete, but they can say it. So in their heart, that little child, they have an understanding. I believe in a God. I cannot see Him, but father and mother have taught me that I must pray to Him. So this is something that we don't try not to overlook or try to think that the children are too young, they cannot understand, right? So at what age is it a good time to teach? As soon as the child is learning to speak, right? As soon as they learn to talk. But bear in mind, their attention span is very short, right? So I've seen some parents doing quiet time with their children, just a very short. Maybe they take one of those children's Bible, one page, just one page, you know, one page of the book. And then maybe this is the story about David and Goliath. And then there are maybe four lines. And then the father or mother will read the story and then tell the children and then, you know, maybe tell it to the children in a story form and then tell them how great God is. And then pray together. And then after that, send them off to sleep or whatever they have to do. Right? So it is not beyond them, right? Parents can lead a child in the morning for prayers before going to work or in the evening in the reading of a Bible, right? Make them cultivate that habit. Okay, so I want to end here and let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time of exhortation, learning about our personal devotion and quiet time with the Lord. We pray that Thou help Thy people, that they may be disciplined, that they may spend time in quiet with the Lord. And Lord, may Thou strengthen their faith and help them to grow into spiritual maturity, into the man in the full stature as the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.